year 1545. 10 interesting facts. If you liked our story about Ambroise Paré, four frostbitten noses that no one wanted to cut off, boiling oil, poisonous gunpowder, and deep secrets that should never be revealed, then these 10 facts will definitely be of interest to you. This is Labora Verum. My name is Ed Kenelosh. Hello. These 10 facts related to Ambroise Paré and his revolution in medical science are presented in no particular order, just in order in which I came across them. So, fact 1. At least once Ambroise Paré did a crime scene investigation. In 1575, the advocate of the Court of Parliament of Paris invited the 65-year-old barber surgeon Ambroise Paré and the medical doctor to express their opinion about the mysterious death of two of his servants, the clerk and the groom. The beating of the arteries was not felt on the bodies. The bodies were cold, motionless. The faces were pale. Both men did not react to blows and hair pulling. The lawyer's family believed them to be dead. Ambroise Paré searched all the corners of the room and found a clay frying pan with coals, half burnt, still warm, littered with stains. Ambroise Paré immediately concluded that the cause of the misfortune was toxic steam, which suffocated the men, blocking their airways. Both men, according to Paré, were in fact still alive, and Paré ordered them to be taken outside and began to apply various procedures to them. And he did this for a long time and persistently, and both men came to life. Fact 2. Once Ambroise Paré passed off someone else's work as his own. As personal surgeon of kings, Ambroise Paré was simply obliged to do what, due to poverty and lack of formal education, he was unable to do in his time, become a member of the Fraternity of Surgeons. It was called the College of Saint Cosma. But Ambroise Paré still didn't know Latin, and knowledge of Latin was an indispensable condition. At the same time, the college also wanted to see Ambroise Paré among its members. It was also under pressure, but even without that pressure, the college wanted to increase its influence at the royal court through Ambroise Paré. In 1554, pressure increased on both Paré and the college, and the college began the procedure. 44-year-old Paré managed to read his thesis in Latin from paper, but his knowledge of the language remained rudimentary. It was nonetheless a way to meet the requirements, so the college granted Paré the bachelor's degree. This was just the beginning of the process, and the college required Paré to learn Latin to earn the master's degree. No way! So, 2 months later, by agreement between the college authorities and Paré, Ambroise Paré submitted someone else's master's thesis in Latin. Almost the entire college came together and helped Paré pass his exam in Latin, which was quite humiliating for Paré, but there was no other choice. The next day, Ambroise Paré read the Latin language thesis, which, as we remember, was not his. Another humiliation. But it was also humiliation for the college, given that everyone knew what was happening, but had to pretend that everything was fine. Even 23 years later, Dean Jean Riolan the Elder from a known family of medical conservatives, who at the time was only 15 years old, ridiculed the procedure, and rightly so. We heard Latin recited in the most beautiful manner, but that Latin was breathed into by someone else. Well, yes, not really good way to deal with the issue, but that's the thing that the college and Paré invented. Paré's master's degree and his membership in the college didn't mean that the college had accepted the improper nature of Paré's books. Ambroise Paré had many conflicts with the college over his books, some of which were legal, court-type cases. Paré resisted the college attempts to edit his works, believe it or not, but the college had the legal right to do so. He fought their efforts to restrict his books on the grounds that books were in French, and their attempt to stop his book on the plague, since the plague was not a surgical problem but a medical problem, and the book had a clear, didactic, instructive tone for the reader. But Ambroise Paré had no choice. It was Queen Mother Catherine de' Medici who asked Paré to write an instructive overview of the plague, since the plague was almost constant in Paris in those years. And still, Paré was one of the most respected members of the college. In the college hall, Paré had his own personal chair. Above it was inscribed the motto, "I dressed him and God healed him." This phrase was repeated many times and in different formulations in Paré's books. This motto was a random find in Paré's first book. This is how Paré described his first combat experience there. The captain, nicknamed the Rat, received a shot from the aquabas in his right ankle, fell to the ground and said, "Now they have got the Rat. I dressed him and God healed him." This phrase may not have seemed all that important when it was uttered, but it resonated with Paré and subsequently followed him throughout his life. Fact 3. Ambroise Paré conducted an experiment with poison on a living person. In the times of Ambroise Paré, it was believed that bezoars were able to eliminate the effect of any poison, being a universal antidote. A bezoar is a formation that is often found in the gastrointestinal tract, a foreign body, most often in the stomach, a concretion made, for example, of tightly coiled hair or plant fibers. Bezoars are found mainly in ruminants. I must say that most cat owners know what bezoar is because it is quite common in cats as well. One of Paré's cooks was sentenced to be hanged for stealing exquisite silver cutlery. The cook agreed to an experiment. He accepted to be poisoned and then immediately received a bezoar. If the cook survived, he would be released. However, the poison killed the cook 7 hours after the poisoning. The bezoar didn't help. Fact 4. Ambroise Paré experienced many military adventures. In 1552, an Italian captain secretly smuggled 40-year-old Paré to besieged city of Metz. Paré delivered a fresh supply of medicines to the city, but the main reason for calling Paré was the high mortality rate in the city, which worried the garrison commander, the Duke of Guise. The main theory of local doctors was the poisonous effect of gunpowder and gunpowder smoke, which constantly floated in the air. Well, cannons and rifles never stopped. But Paré didn't believe in the toxicity of gunpowder, so he put forward a more realistic theory – cold, malnutrition, and poor care for the wounded. He predicted that in such a situation an outbreak of plague was inevitable. Ultimately, Duke of Guise decided to leave the city. Upon Paré's return to Paris, he was generously rewarded by the king. A year later, in northern France, Paré, disguised as a poor peasant, accompanied a seriously wounded French nobleman. They were captured by the Spaniards. The soldiers hoped to receive a large ransom, but Paré predicted that the nobleman would soon die, and this happened 2 days later. Paré was forced to perform an autopsy. He used it to give a lecture on anatomy to Spanish doctors. The lecture was so different from anything they had heard before that the surgeon of the German emperor immediately demanded that Paré join them in exchange for horse and fine clothing. Paré was still in the peasant costume. Paré rejected this proposal with expressions that infuriated the Spaniard. In particular, Paré said that he didn't have the habit of joining strangers. The emperor's surgeon demanded Paré's execution, such as Swain from "Join Us" to "Die Here and Now." Ambroise Paré was saved by a happy accident. Having learned that they have captured a famous Parisian surgeon, one of the commanders of the Imperial Army invited Paré to his tent. The commander hoped that Paré would cure the ulcer on his leg. Paré did something strange. He prescribed hot soup, warmth, massage, sunlight, and walks. And by the way, it helped. To prevent Paré from escaping, the Spanish made Paré promise not to flee. They also wanted him to wear a long red scarf that could be seen from afar. However, the scarf gave the Spaniards the illusion of control, and Paré walked freely around their camp. Soon the French king paid a ransom for Paré, the surgeon returned to the French camp, and there he told many details about the weapons and fortifications of the Spaniards. Fact 5. In Paré's time, any book published for the first time attracted the initial attention of readers. Sometimes they ask why people started reading the book of some newly minted barber surgeon who had no formal education, no academic degrees, and didn't even speak Latin. This interest in the book cannot, for example, be explained by Paré's high-ranking appointments, since he didn't yet have them. Of course, Paré returned from Italy in a blaze of glory, but it was the glory of a single military campaign, spurred by the piquant fact that Paré was just an apprentice. There were many outstanding doctors in Paris who in those years had much greater fame. Perhaps brilliant contents of the book? How could readers know about it? Most readers in France couldn't even suspect what kind of book Paré wrote. could they have expected anything other than usual retelling of Galen and Celsus? To understand why the very first Perez book attracted the initial attention, it's helpful to remember that there was nothing close to the abundance of medical books that we are accustomed to today. Printed houses across Europe produced about 400 book titles per year in the first 50 years of the 16th century, but the vast majority of those titles were religious texts. Just 20 years before Ambroise Paré decided to follow the army, Martin Luther published his 95 Theses. The Reformation and Counter-Reformation now were in full swing. So 400 titles a year is not a lot in itself, but almost all of them were devoted to religion, which was big politics at the time. We are talking not only about a small number of titles, but also about small circulations. The average circulation of a book, any book in the 16th century, was about 1,000 copies. For medical books, it was even less than that. The bright side of this is that all books were highly visible. With all the challenges involved in writing, getting endorsements, and finding a publisher, once those were overcome, a book, any book, was bound to attract at least some attention from readers. But will the book be sold and then republished? That's the question. Books of Ambroise Paré were regularly republished, basically every decade. We remember his first book was published in 1545, and then it was reprinted in 1552, 1564, and so on. Interestingly, Paré didn't simply re-release his book. For the second edition, he found another printing house, with better quality of printing and even more reasonable prices. That was important to ensure that the book remained accessible, not only to doctors, but also to apprentices. In addition, Ambroise Paré added 43 woodcuts. And one more change. The book was previously dedicated to René I, Viscount de Rohan, one of the Paré's most devoted patrons. However, for the second edition, de Rohan himself proposed changing the dedication to King Charles IX of France. Fact 6. Not a single place of Ambroise Paré in Paris has survived. Paré lived in Paris near the end of the Pont Saint-Michel, in the parish of Saint-André-des-Arts. During his life, he bought many houses in the area. He was buried in a church near his home in 1590. That church was destroyed in 1807, during the Napoleonic times, and Paré's grave no longer exists. Paré's bones were transferred to the Parisian catacombs. The houses of Paré disappeared during modern urban improvements. Fact 7. That's the funny one. Ambroise Paré was his daughter's brother-in-law. 3 months after the death of his first wife, Ambroise Paré married for the second time. And he married the sister of his daughter's husband. Fact 8. On at least one occasion, Ambroise Paré stopped a large religious procession in the middle of the street. The last event known to us in the life of Ambroise Paré was that he interrupted a religious procession in the streets of Paris, led by Archbishop of Lyon. At that time, Ambroise Paré was 80 years old. The religious wars were in full swing, and Henry of Navarre, who would become King Henry IV, laid siege of Paris. Food supplies to the city were interrupted. The city population began to starve. Paré stopped the procession to implore the Archbishop to begin negotiations. Well, it is unlikely that this shocking act actually influenced the action of authorities, but it characterizes Paré, who never felt much awe of authority. Be that as it may, about 10 days after this event, Henry of Navarre lifted the siege. Fact 9. In Paré's time, life in France was rapidly changing. Religious wars and burning people at the stake don't really sound too good, but France as a country was much more diverse than that. France, which previously consisted of a number of small, practically unconnected regions, each with its own dialect, now began to unify its government system and its language. This process hasn't been completed, I think, yet, but it certainly had begun when Paré was writing his work, so his use of the French language was innovative in many respects. Catherine de' Medici brought the Renaissance with her to France, and the country began to transform into La Belle France of later times. Etiquette appeared at court and in the palaces of the nobility. Catherine de' Medici's youngest son, Henry III, even published a book on etiquette with explanations of what to wear, how to behave in the palace and on the hunt, how to give balls and participate in them, and how to behave at dinner parties. It became fashionable to richly decorate both yourself and your palaces. Court outfits became more sophisticated and expensive, and now a courtier could not get by with less than 25 suits of different styles. Long curls have become fashionable for men, and high hairstyles for women. Swords were part of men's costume, and duels were common, in which seconds also had to fight. Beauty marks, tennis, new types of dances, professional musicians, and professional singers became popular. The violin pushed the lute back. Ballet came from Italy. Public carriages were invented. Public carriages! Personal carriages were now expected to have elegant interiors, glass windows, and curtains. The furnishings in the house should now be rich and even, in a sense, comfortable. Many chairs, chests, wardrobes, beds, and tables appeared in the rooms. Everything was carved or inlaid with jasper, rare wood, agate, or ebony. The walls and cornices were also decorated. The fleur-de-lis and the French tricolor spread. There was a boom in tapestries. Gardening became art. All this was happening in the same world where people were burned at the stake and where medical science was completely reduced to what the ancient Greeks and Romans wrote. Fact 10. Ambroise Paré was barber surgeon of four kings, or maybe six, or seven. In 1552, 7 years after the publication of his first book, Ambroise Paré was accepted into the service of Henry II and his wife. The king is best remembered for two things, his Italian wife, Catherine de' Medici, and Italian war against Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. Interestingly, Nostradamus also served King Henry, as a physician and astrologer. When Henry II and Charles V eventually concluded a treaty, Henry held a jousting tournament to mark the occasion. At this tournament, the king received a blow on his head from Gabriel de Montgomery, the captain of his Scottish guard. But I was unable to help the king, and 10 days later Henry II died. Ambroise Paré became a barber surgeon to the Henry's successor, Francis II, who ascended the throne of France at the age of 15. Francis is also known for his wife. He married Mary, Queen of Scots. But the main mark of his reign was the start of the French Wars of Religion. Francis died 17 months later from the ear disease, possibly mastoiditis, meningitis, or otitis media that developed into an abscess. Ambroise Paré, the royal surgeon, considered trepanation. Some suspected Protestants of poisoning the king. The next king of France, Charles IX, was only 10 years old at the time. His reign was entirely concerned with the religious tension between Protestants and Catholics. It included the massacre of Huguenots at Vassy, the ensuing civil and religious war, an attempt to restore peace by marrying the king's sister Margaret to Henry of Navarre, future King Henry IV, and finally the massacre of Huguenots on St. Bartholomew's Day. In 1563, after the siege of Rouen, Ambroise Paré became first surgeon and chamberlain of King Charles IX. According to Sully, Prime Minister of Henry IV, Ambroise Paré was a secret Huguenot. During the massacre of St. Bartholomew's Day, his life was saved by King Charles IX. The king sent his guards to escort Paré to Louvre and locked the surgeon in the wardrobe. But that's if you believe Sully. The confusion regarding Paré's religion might be caused by the fact that Paré treated many Huguenots. His patients included King Henry II of Navarre, grandfather of future King of France Henry IV, and King Antoine of Navarre, father of Henry IV. By the direct orders of King Charles IX, Paré treated the leader of Huguenots, Admiral de Coligny, when Coligny was wounded by a shot from a Catholic assassin 2 days before the massacre. In addition, Paré's most devoted patron, Viscount de Rohan, was married to an ardent Protestant who gradually converted the entire House of Rohans into Huguenots. Anyway, Charles IX died of tuberculosis in 1574 at the age of 23. His 22-year-old brother, Henry III of France, the last of the Valois dynasty, succeeded him and also appointed 64-year-old Ambroise Paré as his barber surgeon. Henry III is remembered chiefly for his escape from Poland, where he ruled as an elected king at the time of Charles IX's death, and the fact that he was assassinated 15 years later by a fanatical Dominican monk. At the time of the assassination of Henry III, Paré was 79 years old. The following year, already under the new dynasty, Paré died of natural causes. So, Ambroise Paré served four kings, for whom he was a surgeon: Henry II, Francis II, Charles IX, and Henry III. Or six kings, if you count two kings of Navarre. Or seven, if you accept that Catherine de' Medici was the behind-the-scenes ruler of France. So, these are 10 interesting facts that I found for you additional to the story of year 1545. That's the story about Ambroise Paré and four frostbitten noses that no one wanted to cut off. If you would like to know more, I would recommend two sources in addition to the literature of the main story: Ambroise Paré's page by Wallace in encyclopedia.com and Other Aspects of Ambroise Paré's Life by Philippe Herguinot. You can find a more detailed list of references along with the text of this story and many other stories in our Facebook page Labora Verum. It was Ed Kenalosh, Labora Verum. Thank you and goodbye.